When someone hits their head or suffers a concussion, they might be asked, "Do you know your name? Do you know where you are? Do you know what day it is?" Probably most of you haven't been clobbered on your head lately. But as you sit here today, let me ask you, who are you? Where are you? What time is it? The answers seem obvious, but I ask for a reason. The Orthodox Church teaches, and it acts out in its liturgy, the belief that when we worship together, God brings the kingdom into our midst, and we are likewise drawn up into paradise. For a while, we exist in eternity, fully as the people of God. For a time that cannot be measured, the reign of God comes very near to us. Before his death, just before the children of Israel were to go into the promised land, Moses reminded them that the great commandment of God had been written on their hearts, that the almighty word of the Lord was in their mouths, ready to be proclaimed. The God who led before and also followed the Israelites during their 40-year journey would continue to go with them into their new homeland. Moses assured God's people that even though they could no longer see the pillar of cloud or of fire that went with them, God was present with them, present in the commandments they had been given. Walking in the path of God was something open to each one of them. Jesus assures us that eternal life is also open to everyone, and he hints that the reign of God is closer than we might imagine. In our gospel, Jesus is approached by a lawyer, someone well-versed in the letter of the law, someone who knew who he was, a son of Abraham, one of the chosen. He knew where he was, in the very land given to the Jewish people by God, and he knew he lived in a time when he was part of the power structure. The lawyer also knew that Jesus was dangerous to all these certainties in his life. So he came, asking a question for which he already had the answer. Or maybe the question was innocent. Maybe the lawyer was looking for some deeper knowledge, a new secret teaching that the rabbi Jesus might have. But if the lawyer was looking for some fine print, he was disappointed. The answer was simple. The secret, old as the Torah, it is already in your hearts. The great Shema, the great commandment to love God with all your being and your neighbor as yourself. So the lawyer knew what was required under the law. But he had another question, trying to justify himself. He asks, "Who is my neighbor?" If he can just narrow that down, he will have it made. He will have all the answers he needs for his life. But he probably should have asked another question instead. Who is not my neighbor? Whom do I not have to love? So Jesus tells a story, one of his parables. A man is beaten and robbed and left for dead. Two religious folks see him lying in the road and pass him by. A third man sees him and, moved by compassion, does everything he can to restore the victim to health. The twist to the story is that the helper is a Samaritan, and therefore the least likely figure to show mercy to a Samaritan-hating Jew. The one in the story least likely to obey the law is the very one who fulfills it. Jesus ends the story The lawyer admits that the Samaritan was the good neighbor in the story, and he is told, go and do likewise. Simple. Go and do likewise. It's a no-brainer. Until you actually try to go and do likewise. An author, Peter Hawkins, tells about a night out in New York City with a friend. They had gone to see a one-man show based on the gospel according to Mark. They had watched the actor Alec McGowan bring Mark's story to life. They had heard the old, old story as if for the first time, swept into Mark's world of rapid-fire word and action. As they left the theater, they were stunned and exhilarated. As they walked down Madison Avenue, exclaiming over the performance, the door of a bar was suddenly flung open, and a very drunk man stumbled out in front of them. Another passerby managed to catch the man before he connected with the sidewalk. He set the man on unsteady feet and kept going. Hawkins and his friend were rebuffed by the drunken man in slurred but imaginative obscenities as they offered to help. They checked in at the bar, but no one in there wanted anything to do with the foul-mouthed, abusive drunk. So what to do? Leave the man or help him home? Before the saying ever gained popularity, Hawkins and his companions found themselves asking, what would Jesus do? With Mark's gospel ringing in their ears, they could not do what one normally does in New York. When a bar door opens and someone hurtles out. The challenge of the Good Samaritan was palpable in the air for Hawkins and his friend. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. Well, except for the drunken man. What the two rescuers had not counted on was that the man they eventually brought back to his ritzy Upper East Side townhouse was not interested in the kingdom. All he wanted was another drink and a smoke. He didn't care if he couldn't hold the match. He didn't care if he burned the building down. And he wanted them to get out. It seemed like a good time to go. But under the influence of that pesky gospel, they couldn't leave. They found an address book and began calling the names. Over and over, former friends of the man refused to do anything to help. They were told that the man was a bully, spoiled, abusive, everything they had already discovered for themselves. So they hid the matches and poured the scotch down the drain. As they tiptoed out, Hawkins left his name and number and a note. Please call if you would like to talk. Of course, the call never came. They never did receive a thank you from the man. They never received a Neighbor of the Year award from the Upper East Side Block Association. And Hawkins found that he couldn't even be proud or smug about his actions. He was too well aware that he had tried everything he could to get someone else to take over the job of babysitter. He even felt a kind of unholy glee, a nasty self-righteousness that no one else was willing to consider their ward as someone worthy of rescue. But 20 years after the experience, Hawkins wondered if perhaps on that night he had stepped into eternal life, walked right into the kingdom of God without knowing it, simply by doing what needed to be done, however grudgingly. Could it be so simple? Could the kingdom of God be so near? The word of the Lord this close at hand. Amen.